Hello and welcome to our Ely Team online service for Sunday, August the 9th. My name is Matt, I'm the curate in the Ely Team, and on behalf of all of the churches that make up our team ministry, I'd like to say that we're really glad that you're here with us today. It's very exciting to imagine that today in Ely and across the villages that make up the Ely team, some will be venturing out to church services as our churches begin to reopen, and many of us will also be gathering to worship online too. So as we come together in both churches and homes today, we really do want to assure you that you are very welcome. And as we begin our service this morning, let's take a moment now to remind ourselves of God's presence with us and to invite him to meet with us during this online service. And to give voice to our thoughts, desires and prayers this morning, we're going to use our opening liturgy. So please do feel free to join in with the words in bold. We remind ourselves that the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. Faithful one whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come now to our first song this morning. Come, now is the time to worship. A beautiful song which calls us to come just as we are this morning, to seek God with all that we are. So however you're feeling this morning, do sing or simply listen to the words of this song as we're led by the worship team at St Mary's in a special video made by Bridget, showing each person in the band recording their own musical contributions from their homes.
Just
So, Father God, we do want to come before you today and worship you with everything that we are. Help us to learn more about who you are today and to lift you high in every area of our lives. Amen. Next up, we're going to have our Bible reading, which this week is going to be read to us by Becky. Our reading this week is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. That's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. You might want to find this passage in your own Bible or on your Bible app so that you can read and follow along now. And today we're continuing our series looking at characters of the Old Testament. And this morning Chris, our team rector, is going to be speaking to us about Samuel, who we've already learnt a little bit about during Shabba TV this morning. So over to Becky for our reading and then straight over to Chris for our sermon.
The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak so that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle."
Hello, everyone. We're entering our story this morning at a point where God's people had once again begun to forget who they were and what their mission was in the world. The writer of Judges sums it up. Everyone did as they wanted to do. It was chaos. And in those days, we hear in verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare and there was no vision. Why was that? Was God talking and nobody was listening? Had the prevailing culture blocked their ears? Or had God withdrawn from them altogether? Proverbs 29 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." If we're not open to God's leading, we succumb. And that's where Israel was at this moment in their history. And it's against this background that the young Samuel enters into Israel's history. His mum, Hannah, is a wonderful, faithful woman. She's praying not just for her family's future, but for the future of her people, Israel. She'd almost given up hope of having a child, so she promised to dedicate her son to the Lord. The minute he was old enough, she encouraged him to serve God at the sanctuary of Shiloh. God had heard Hannah's prayer, and as soon as we hear of the birth of this child, we know that there is hope for Israel once again. The stage is set, and we imagine ourselves into a story of three characters: the old priest, Eli, the boy, Samuel, and God, our Heavenly Father. Eli was by this time an old man. He was nearly blind, and he was the priest at the sanctuary, a lifetime's vocation inherited from his father and destined in turn for his two sons. But in chapter 2, we read that Eli's two sons were empty-headed, self-centered, looking for gratification at any cost. They were violating the sanctuary and no longer listening to their father. They were a living picture of Israel's plight. So Eli represents Israel and the path that she's taken, allowing the things of God to grow dim over 200 years of disobedience, a refusal to look for or to listen to the hopeful, fatherly voice of God. Our story takes place at night, the darkness representing the lack of spiritual vision and the failure to live as God's people. The lamp of God, which is still lit in the sanctuary, and indeed the ark, symbolise the presence of God in the sanctuary. And in this story, they represent the presence of God in the darkness into which Israel's spiritual blindness has led them. The flame of God's presence is still burning. God had not abandoned his people. If there's anything that we need to hear today from this, it is that the flame of God's presence in our city, in our nation, in our world still flickers. And in the darkness, trying to sleep, there is Samuel, the miracle child. In the darkness lies the future, just waiting for God's Holy Spirit to fan it into flame. And so, one night, the boy Samuel hears God's voice, but he did not recognise what he heard. He went and asked Eli if he'd called, and Eli told him to go back to bed. Twice more this happened, and finally the third time the penny dropped, and Eli began to understand what was happening, that God was calling Samuel. He explained what Samuel should do and how he should respond. As I read this, I reflected on my own calling. Like Samuel, I missed God's early calling, but I didn't have the excuse of not knowing. When I was 20, my friend and mentor, Kenneth Havisham, suggested I take a look at ordination. "Chris, my brother," he came up. But I couldn't imagine it. And he did it again at 30. "Chris, my brother." But I was afraid and I couldn't make the family maths work, if I was honest. And again at 40. "Chris, my brother." Kenneth was there. But I was enjoying being a leader of a lay church at that time. But not daunted, Kenneth tried again. "Chris, my brother," at 45. And around that time, I did eventually realise what was happening, that this call might be real. And so off I went for my vicar selection conference, little knowing that my calling as a vicar would be here in Ely, where the conference itself was. And so for Samuel, the fourth time he was ready and he responded to God's call and was given a prophetic message from God. It was a message about changes to come, the ending of the old ways of doing things. Initially, it was a tough task, actually, because he had to take back to Eli a message that God had finally been forced to give up on Eli's hapless sons as the next leaders and as providers of God's vision for the future. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the sad news, but he takes courage and he does his job, and Eli responds with real grace, saying, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Eli was still enough of a man of faith to recognise God's hope for the world. And so Samuel emerges as the new leader in Israel. Let's take a good look at Eli. Yes, his spiritual eyes were dim and he had not heard the word of the Lord for a long time. But as the young Samuel sought answers to his questions, Eli was there to guide him in the right direction. Eli played a vital part in Samuel's future, in Samuel bringing new light to the people. Even though the old ways were dying and his family were bowing out, Eli still had a role guiding the new generation into its calling as God's people. Eli doesn't emerge as the hero in this story. He fights no great battles, brings no new victories, leads no great building projects, becomes no great champion of justice, preaches no great sermons, brings no new altars. In some ways, his family is to be pitied, and yet Eli enables the young Samuel to usher in the fresh era that the people so desperately need. And in Eli's quiet acceptance of God's new plans, we see a gentleness and a piety, a commitment to God that will allow God to work beyond himself. Eli may not be the hero, but his role was to facilitate and enable the change that God was bringing. He was the transition figure between the past and the present and the future, the cutting edge over which the old became new. Eli served God well, not as a hero, but as an ordinary person, with all the frailties of being human, yet one who knew enough about God to guide a young boy who was seeking answers to his questions. Each of our churches today need people like Eli, who are less concerned with being the hero today, but who can guide the leaders of tomorrow. So through Eli, God develops Samuel, from an apprentice in the sanctuary into someone through whom God speaks to Israel. There's nothing about Samuel that makes this happen. The master just decides that this is the servant that he intends to use in this connection. With COVID challenging us, testing the limits of our society's cohesiveness and sense of national purpose and community, how can we listen and see what God is doing? How can we take part in it? How can we rekindle that flickering flame of God's presence into a light that will be a lamp into the world? Do we have to recognise that some things are ending, that the church has to say goodbye to some of the encumbrances? What has been will not be again, maybe. Do we need to recognise that the essence of our faith is not in all the trappings of our religion, but in the living God in our midst? Maybe our task is not to be Samuel, not to be the future, but to be Eli, to make sure that the future church knows how to find the answers it needs. How do we enable the next generation to find faith and to grow the body of Christ? Going back to my mentor, Kenneth, at Limpsfield, thousands of teenagers pass through Limpsfield, and hundreds still do today. Some of us probably horrify him now, but his legacy is of preachers, leaders, vicars, youth pastors and evangelists all over the country. Kenneth and Mary invested in the future by loving and nurturing the young people whom God is calling. One of the things I cherish most about our church in this city and in these villages is its role in offering training and placements. The Ordinands, most recently Claire and Kerry and Sam. Placement students, curates, most recently Matt and before him Rebecca, Julia and David. But not just those who are placed here, but those who emerge here and develop here and deploy their gifts. The lay ministers, the occasional preachers, the home group leaders, the musicians, the technicians, the administrators, the pastoral team, those who offer hospitality. The list is endless. Our job is to care for each member, to pray for them, and to give them room to grow. That way, our essence as a church, our true heritage, will never really be lost, but transformed into a new generation. Among our young people and children may be a Samantha or a Samuel, who will change the church and the world. What greater privilege can we have than nurturing such potential? And if you fancy you are a Samantha or a Samuel, maybe the Elis of our church can help you recognise the voice of God. I pray that God is in our midst, stirring the pot, doing new things, so that the Samuels and Samanthas and the Elis amongst us hear the voice of God and open up our hearts for his vision for the church and the world. If you feel God is calling you into anything, don't hold back. Come and tell us. And if you perceive God is calling someone else, don't hold back. Help them recognise it. And we see that God worked in Samuel's case, not during a worship service, not while the scriptures were being read, not through any of the regular church routines. No, the calling became apparent as they were going about their daily routine, in fact sleeping in this case. So keep our eyes open, because sometimes God's call will be a welcome and refreshing shot of fresh air into a stale and suffocating prison cell. But sometimes the welcome may be less welcome, challenging a familiar routine, pushing us against our security and stability. And I suspect the older we get, the less welcome we might see an intrusion from God. But Samuel accepted God's calling, and he walked with God. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Any renewal that comes in the church or in the lives of individuals will come because of God's presence in our midst. and it will come because we've heard the voice of God calling us to newness. But it is not enough to hear. We must respond. Whether we are Eli or Samuel or Samantha, we're all part of that new future that God is bringing. New winds are blowing. The spiritual climate is changing. The smell of fresh breezes and fresh showers are in the air. Yes, there is risk. For some of us, there is risk that the newness that God brings will also bring an ending to the ways of us, the way we do things, an ending to the securities of the past. For others, there's a risk that we will be the ones called to forge into new territory in the power of the Spirit. But one thing is certain, there will be no status quo. There will be no going on as usual. The changes already happening in our culture and in our church through God's Spirit will not allow it. As Jim Simbala writes, you and I will never know our potential under God until we step out and take risks to establish his kingdom. And we can't do that just because we decide it should be so, but we can do it as God calls us to it and reveals to us where he is working in the world. And we can do it as we listen and respond to that call as God enables us. And sometimes he uses the Elis around us to help us to understand how we should respond. So let's listen carefully, lest we miss the voice of God in the darkness. And if someone asks us about a voice that they've heard calling their name in the night, please be ready to tell them to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I'd like to invite you to respond this morning, to consider if you are in a Samuel or Samantha stage of life. In verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." Are your ears tingling? Is God calling you? What is he calling you to? I reckon God is calling some in our midst to use their musical gifts in worship, or their technical gifts on our sound and vision desks. If that's you, or you're called in any other way, look for an Eli to consult. Talk to a friend, to myself, or Matt, or Stephen, or Ruth, or one of the team here, and pray that you will hear God's voice. Let's pray that God will make our ears tingle. Or maybe you're in an Eli stage of life. Then make yourself available to listen to the Samanthas and the Samuels. Look out for them. Don't miss the opportunity. So can I invite you to posture yourself right now to hear God? You might want to open your hands to receive from God. Heavenly Father, please speak. Your servants are listening. Help us to hear your call on our lives and to lean into your vision for our futures. May we be bringers of hope and justice in this community and in this world. Whether we're an Eli or a Samantha or a Samuel, speak to us. Lead us on. Help us to walk with you. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So let's expect God to do great things through us. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for your message to us today and for your encouragement to listen to God's call for our lives and to lean on God as we look to our futures. As we continue to reflect on Chris's message to us today, we're now going to listen to our second song for this morning, which is called "Lord, I Need You." It's a song which reminds us of how much we need to lean into God, especially as we look to our future and we think about the call that he might have on our individual lives, but also the lives of our families and our friends, and also the lives of our church families as a whole in the Ely team. You might like to sing along to this song or simply use it as a time to be still and to reflect and to seek what God might be calling you to do today.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So Lord, we do confess that we need you in our lives, in every moment and every season. Please help us to build our lives on you. Help us to find peace in you, and help us too to follow your call on our lives. Amen. We turn now to a time of confession where we have the chance to confess to God the times when we haven't followed his call on our lives, and those times when we turned away from him and also his love. So if you'd like to use these words to make a prayer of confession, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." And together we pray, "Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we now affirm our faith. And again, if you would like to join in with the words in bold, please feel free to do this. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, together we pray. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. And I'm going to hand over now to Lizzie from St. Mary's, who is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession for today.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the warm weather that we've been having and the summer sun. We thank you that some of us at this time have been able to see family and friends. And we pray for those who continue to not be able to do so, that you will help them to not be alone, both because of your presence with them and because of your children who are able to reach out to them. We thank you for food in the cupboards, water in the tap, and a safe place to sleep. And we pray for those who do not have the comfort of taking those things for granted. We give you thanks for those who lead and those who carry both this nation and all the nations of the world. We pray for them endurance as they continue to fulfill their tasks in a dynamic time of change, and that you will give them your inexplicable peace as they continue in their ways. We thank you for churches that are moving towards re-establishing live church meetings. We ask that you will protect and bless those gatherings, and that people who have been able to take part in services during the time of lockdown will continue to be able to be included as part of your community. Lord God, we pray that you will always make us eager to live the life that you have called us to. We pray that in wisdom and patience we will continue to negotiate our way personally, as a nation, and as a species through COVID-19. We pray that you will continue to give us joy in lifting up those around us with your love. We ask also that we will not ignore those who are calling out for help, who are experiencing disaster, whether natural or man-made. Let us be comforted that you hear them, but not complacent enough to not be used by you for their good. Lord God, give us ears to hear always, and let us say with strength forever, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Lord God, in the name of your Son, hear our prayers. Amen.
Thank you, Lizzie, for leading us in prayer today. And we gather all of our prayers together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please feel free to join in with this modern version of the prayer, or to pray the more traditional version at home. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for you to join in with. And this week it is, "I Will Offer Up My Life." This song encourages us to offer up our lives to God in response to all that he has done for us. So whether you feel that God has already spoken to you very clearly about what he might be calling you to do in the future, or you're still waiting and listening, why not use this song as a prayer and a time to offer up your future to God, however that might look? God is the one who holds us in his hands, and he is the one who has good plans for all of us.
To you, in surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name? Things you have done, oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by a thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost.
Thank you, Lord, that when we offer up our lives to you, we put our lives into the very best hands. Thank you that you see all that is happening in our lives. You know our worries, our concerns, our hopes and our expectations. And we bring before you now all of our thoughts and emotions, and we rest in your love this morning, asking that you would provide us with all that we need to find peace, rest and contentment in you as we look to the future. Amen. Well, as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, I have two quick notices to share with us. First of all, a notice to encourage you that all the churches in the Ely team are working hard behind the scenes as we begin to think about how we can reopen for worship. Several of the churches in the team are now running services, but with social distancing regulations in place to keep everybody safe. But if you don't know what's happening at your local church, then please do contact your church wardens, who will be able to advise you. Or alternatively, you can contact the church office at St Mary's by emailing office@stmarysely.org or calling 01353 659 550 and leaving a voice message. And the office team will then be able to put you in touch with the church wardens at each of the team churches. And just a quick reminder that next week on August the 16th at St Mary's, there will be free services running at 8:30, 9:45 and 11 o'clock. But you will need to book in for these services via the church website. That's www.stmarysely.org or by calling the church office and leaving a voice message again on 01353 659 550. And of course, if you can't get out to church next Sunday or you don't feel ready to venture out quite yet, there will still be an online service for you to participate and join in with, just like there has been this week. And our second notice is really a big thank you to those of you who've continued to support us financially over the past few months. We are very thankful that, thanks to your generosity, our ministry has been able to continue throughout the lockdown, and your contributions will allow our church to keep on ministering as we look to the future. If you'd like to make a donation to any of the churches in the Ely team and you're not sure how to do this, then if you do contact the St Mary's office on the details that I provided earlier and should be appearing on your screen now, we'll be able to give you further instructions about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely team. So as our service draws to a close today, don't forget that you can find out the latest details of all that's happening in the next week by visiting the St Mary's website. That's www.stmarysely.org. Do look out particularly for our midweek study video, which will be published online from Monday morning. And as ever, if you do have any pastoral concerns or practical needs, please do contact the church office and we'll do our very best to help you out. But for now, as we go out into the rest of our days and the week ahead, I'm going to pray a final prayer of blessing over us. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.